Discussions about hunger in America tend to focus on lower income areas, places where people don't make much money and grocery stores can be few and far between. Neither of those conditions apply to the city of Ashland. By several measures, it is one of the wealthiest communities in Oregon, yet it is home to several robust efforts to feed hungry people. And the various agencies band together for an annual fundraiser, the Empty Bowls Fundraiser, to be held this Friday in Ashland. Two guests with us in the studio. Pam Marsh is the executive director of the Ashland Emergency Food Bank. I should also mention that she's a member of the city council and is also running for the state legislature. So a number of hats. We're dealing with the food bank hat today. Pam Marsh, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you.
Maren Faya is here with us as well. She's the director and chef at Uncle Food's Diner, which also runs a program to help feed people in Ashland. Maren, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So let's start with you, Pam. Talk about the work of the food bank and what goes on there.
Well, the mission of the food bank has not changed in the more than 44 years that we've been in business, and that is to provide food free of charge to residents of Ashland, Talent, and surrounding rural areas, and to do that in a way that really emphasizes respect for those who are receiving services. So we have a team of volunteers who are on site every morning. We invite our customers to come in and shop with us once a month, and the intent is to provide enough food for a family, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, for all members of the household for several days. So we are not the whole solution to food issues, but we're a helping hand for people who need that.
So at once a month, are you sort of there to stopgap the other things if the Oregon Trail has run out, that sort of thing?
That's right. And we tend to be busiest toward the end of the month and the beginning of the month when a check hasn't come in or a car repair has happened or food stamps haven't yet arrived. But we have people. We are open 5 days a week, every morning from 9:30 to 12:30. So we are busy all the time.
How do food banks dovetail their services? I mean, you've got the Ashland Emergency Food mm-hmm. Bank that you run. You've got Access in Medford. There are other food banks scattered around the area. Do you work off a common database,
Ashland Emergency Food Bank is an independent nonprofit, so we are our own entity. And while we collaborate with the other food banks, we're not formally associated with them in any way. So we basically make up our own rules. We do run our own database so that we can track usage. We know who's coming in. We know something about the demographics. And we're able to know if someone's come in during the month yet or not. But again, it's an informal relationship with the other food banks.
Maren Faya, let's talk about Uncle Food's Diner. It's always been a compelling name. Certainly get people's attention right off the bat with that. What is it and how often does it do what it does?
Uncle Food's Diner is a free community meal open to the public, and we have a meal there every Tuesday, and it's at 4:30. And it's at the Ashland Methodist Church. It's hosted by them. It's sponsored by Peace House. And we feed about 75 to 150 people every Tuesday. Every other Tuesday, the first and third Tuesday of the month, we have something we call Tasty Tuesday. And that's a separate meal served in a room and it's basically for families of young children. And it's served a little bit differently. It's kind of low-key. Kids don't like to be rushed. And so it's very family-oriented and community-oriented. And we have about 30 to 35 volunteers that come in. We probably have about 15 to 20 volunteers, our core volunteers, that come in every week. And we prepare a lot of food. And we also have a lot of leftovers. People can have a meal and then usually take another meal home with them.
What's the trend in usage of Uncle Food's Diner and Tasty Tuesdays over time? Has it stayed fairly steady? Does it seem to be increasing, decreasing?
Oh, it's definitely increasing. Last summer, especially with the travelers, we usually had 150 people every meal.
Really?
Yeah.
And do you end up running out of food in the summertime?
No, we just prepare for it. And, you know, we have a lot of staples. So if it looks like there's a big crowd, we usually throw on an extra pot of spaghetti.
Let's talk about the trend at Ashland Emergency Food Bank. How is the business there over time?
Well, In 2015, we averaged 611 households shopping with us every month. Now, we know a household is generally more than one person. So by our calculations, that was about 1,500 children and adults receiving services every month. That's a lot of people in a small community like this. I think what you said in your introductory remarks in terms of the perception of this community as a wealthy place is certainly true. What people don't always realize is the extent of poverty that really exists, particularly with our younger demographics. About a third of the children in the Ashland School District are eligible for free and reduced lunches.
Really?
And many of those families certainly are our customers. We serve all kinds of people from the community. And about a quarter of the people who are served, a quarter of those 1,500 individuals are children under the age of 18. So that really reflects the broad swath of people within the community who are in need of help from time to time.
That's I think, one of the major challenges that in understanding what goes on in a place like Ashland. Mm-hmm. When you look at real estate prices, for example,
right.
It's certainly one of the more higher-priced places in the state, but there's also the belief that if you want to have kids, you're probably going to live in a different school district because it is that expensive to live in town.
Well, I think we're just struggling to hold on to our families. Certainly in the last year, we've seen increases in rents. We have this 1% vacancy rate, which is tremendously difficult. We're seeing housing prices rebound up towards $400,000. Great if you're trying to sell a house, not so good if you're trying to find a place to rent. So families are struggling here, and yet they're still maintaining and holding on in the community. And I think supports like the food bank make a difference for those people.
Pam Marsh and Maren Faya are guests on the Jefferson Exchange. Pam is the executive director at the Ashland Emergency Food Bank. Maren is the director and chef at Uncle Food's Diner, sponsored by Peace House. We're talking about the Empty Bowls fundraiser coming up later this week that benefits both. And you may join us on the exchange. Maybe you have some stories to share about being hungry yourself or people you have helped through programs to help feed the hungry. We'd like to hear those stories at 800-838-3760 over the phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. I saw different accounts of whether this is the fourth or fifth Empty Bowls fundraiser. Do you know which it is, Maren?
I know. I thought it was the fourth, but according to the paperwork, it says fifth. So I'm going to go with that and say it's the fifth year.
Mm-hmm. And tell us about it. Give us an idea of what goes on.
Well, we have students from SOU. We have students from the elementary schools and other potters, and they make a handmade bowl, and for $25 for adults and $10 for students, you can buy a bowl and have it filled with soup and bread and cookies and have a meal and take the bowl home with you.
And the bowls are donated? Is this how you
the bowls
clear
are
the
donated, okay. And the soup is also donated by local restaurants and caterers.
All right, so all the elements come to you essentially for free, and then you move on and take in the money.
Yeah.
This is an idea, I guess, that has happened other places. I've seen other Empty Bowls fundraisers other places. Is that right, Pam?
I think
Marsh?
It's a national model.
Yeah.
And it benefits, while the major focus is Uncle Food's Diner, which is such a wonderful contribution to our community, it also benefits Ashland Emergency Food Bank, Access, and Food Angels. We have in this town a wonderful collaborative food network. We all work together. Maren and I, whenever she needs ingredients that I may have at the food bank, I set them aside for her. Food Angels is a distribution network that picks up from grocery stores and distributes to Maren and to me and to Head Start. And then, of course, Access runs its food pantry. So we all, it's really a good system. And we make the food go as far as we possibly can, as well as the money that we need to make things, keep things going.
Do you get donations of food, or what's more useful to you, donations of food or donations of money?
You know, people ask that question frequently, and I always refuse to answer because the answer is we need both.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of our food, the vast preponderance, comes from donations directly. Much of it, about 40%, from the Ashland Food Project. And we are so grateful for that. We also need a little bit of money to keep the place going. We have a lean budget, but we have bills. And occasionally we need to buy fresh foods and to fill gaps on our shelves. So money is also important. I think the bottom line is that people should give as it moves them. If it's easier for you to write a check and that's what you'd like to do, will use it. If you enjoy going to the grocery store and collecting food on sale or the things that your family, an extra can of from your grocery cart, then by all means bring that by, because that's the food that will go directly on our shelves.
Do you get donations of stuff that's harder to use? I mean, I know when you look at stuff that's on sale in the, you know, the old shopping carts that are shoved off to one side with 99 cents now,
right,
and it's past date, and it's a can of beets, and it's stuff you might not even eat yourself. I mean,
well, actually, we don't have trouble getting rid of anything. The weirdest item we will find a happy home for. We date sort things to make sure they're not more than 1 year past their date. We know things often last much longer than that, but we want people to get them at their full nutritional value. So we do a little bit of parsing of what comes in the door. Let me give a special plug to, because we are coming up on garden season, to fresh produce. We love receiving fresh produce, so we never found a giant zucchini we can't find a home for. So any extra items from your garden that your family can't use, if you bring them to the food bank, we will gladly share them with our families.
All right. There's a lot of enthusiasm, certainly, for donating to food banks. Let's talk about the enthusiasm for receiving things from food banks, from Uncle Food's Diner and the like. I mean, there's always a level of stigma or shame or something that makes some people unwilling to, or at least reluctant to, make the step through the door. Do you think you'd have a lot more people coming through if that stigma didn't exist? I'm going to start with you, Maureen.
No, I think people, you know, it's a community gathering, and I don't think there is any stigma. We have people who, you know, from all walks of life coming in.
Okay.
And by the way, those zucchinis, those giant zucchinis, I usually get those.
Sometimes Maren does.
And what do you do with them? Well, let's find out what a chef does.
Oh, we make stuffed zucchini. We can put it in spaghetti sauce. I mean, you know, we get from the Food Angels, Pamela Joy's Food Angels, we usually get about 15 boxes of produce. And all of those have been pulled off the shelves of the local grocery stores. And we have to go through it and make a meal out of that. And so, you know, we're used to looking at something, some weird produce that we've never seen, and try to figure out what it is and how to put it in a dish.
So you've really had to tax your skills as a chef, it sounds like. And plus the fact that the meal's going to be very different, it sounds like, in April or from say, November or something.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, one of the things we always have is a lot of big salads. And a couple weeks ago, we had no lettuce. And, you know, how do you make a green salad out of no lettuce? So we ran to the store, and because we get we do get some money. We get a grant from the Ashland Co-op. And so that's where I go to get something that we're out of.
Maren Fias is the director and chef at Uncle Food's Diner, serving people every Tuesday in Ashland. Pam Marsh is the executive director of the Ashland Emergency Food Bank and a member of the city council and a state legislative candidate. We're talking about hunger here on The Exchange and the Empty Bowls fundraiser coming up on Friday. Join us on The Exchange with questions, comments, thoughts about our approach to hunger in society. 800-838-3760 on the phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Let's talk about the state of the art in programs aimed at reducing hunger and how that evolves over time. I mean, are there approaches in use now that might not have been in use 5 or 10 years ago?
Well, I think that's very true. I mean, way back when Ashland Emergency Food Bank started in 1972, it was basically a hotline. If you were in need, you called the hotline. The volunteers, who were wonderful church people from Trinity and some of the other local congregations, would go to the storage shed, put together a box, and meet you wherever you were, in the Safeway parking lot, at your home. And it was very much a very direct kind of assistance. Today, of course, we're serving many more people, and the model has shifted to put as much control in the hands of the customers as we possibly can. If you come into Ashland Emergency Food Bank, we'll do a small intake with you. And then we have a team of volunteers who will walk with you around the shelves so that you can pick out from our inventory items that will work for yourself and the members of your family. Obviously, we're a food bank. Choice is sometimes greater than at other times. But to the extent possible, we really want people to be able to choose the food that will work for their families, so that the food will suit them nutritionally, and it will also give them joy as they are partaking in it. So that's a very significant major shift that we've been able to make. And we can do that largely because we have such a generous community that fills our shelves.
Do you offer tips on food preparation as well? I mean, if somebody pulls up the giant zucchini, is there a sheet there with some great recipes for giant zucchini?
We are trying to do that more and more. We have a program called A Meal in a Bag that's put together by some ladies at the Methodist Church, in which we have the recipe and everything you need in the bag, including the spices to go home and make tuna noodle casserole or Mexican beans and rice. Another emphasis along with that is on fresh foods, because we know if you have a can of tuna and a bunch of spinach and some eggs, pretty soon you have a whole meal, not just opening cans. So we do use some grant money to always make sure that we have milk and eggs and some fresh produce on hand, as well as that produce that comes to us from donations.
So let's pull back to a real macro picture here. And what is the one thing above all others you think would really help people be able to afford their own food more easily?
Well, I think we're taking some steps toward that. I think produce probably is the biggest challenge. For a lot of people, just handling produce is difficult because they may have minimal refrigeration or a substandard kitchen. And produce is expensive, especially good produce. But now you can use food stamps at the farmers markets, which is a big step forward. I think the places that have traditionally provided food, the food banks and pantries across the community, have more and more gardens. And we have these wonderful volunteers who are stepping forward to provide produce for us. Here in Ashland, the Ashland Rotary tends a garden on our behalf, and we get wonderful greens and onions and potatoes from that garden. We also have our own beds back behind the food bank, and we just had a team of Eagle Scouts, 20 of them, on hand on the Saturday, putting in two more raised beds. So our capacity for growing our own food is increasing, which is tremendously exciting. So produce has probably been the biggest struggle, and that's starting to come together from us from various directions, which is fabulous.
Let's get the details again on the Empty Bowls Dinner. Are there still spaces left, Maren?
Yes, there's plenty. It's today, this Friday the 13th, which is a lucky day, from 4:30 to 6:30, and you can get tickets at Paddington Station. You can also go to Peace House's website and get tickets from them, or you can just come to the door. And
where is it held?
It's at the Methodist Church.
Okay, $25 for adults and $10 for students,
yes.
And it's on North Main Street at Laurel Street.
Main and Laurel.
Okay.
And which brings me to...
10 seconds left. Sorry, we have to stop it there. Maren Faya is the director and chef at Uncle Food's Diner. Pam Marsh is with the Ashland Emergency Food Bank. Thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Hey, thanks so much, Jeff.